You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. And next, we're brought to you by PrizePicks. PrizePicks is daily fantasy sports simplified. Head on over to prizepicks.com and use promo code SGP for a 100% instant deposit match of up to $100. And next, we're brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at SoBet.io. That's SoBet.io. And finally, we're brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that allows you to sync your fantasy football league and bet on head-to-head matchups. Download the app today or head to betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betterfantasy.com/SGPN. And while you're downloading apps, don't forget to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Check it out wherever it is you download apps.
Hello, Degenerinos, and welcome back, hopefully. But if you're a new person, welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We've made it up to episode 92. I have not appeared in every episode because I have a chaotic life, apparently, or lazy, one or the other, but my associate co-host has. So 92, we're going to dedicate it to the year 1992, which is a fine year for an associate co-host's wife to be born. I think I got that right, because she's the same age as a famous person, I think I was told once. So, and I think I put that in my brain, and I remembered it for some reason. Also, I was just told off air that she knows my name, and my associate co-host does not know my name, and he calls me by the person he cheats on me's name. So, anyhow, that's a story for another day. Hi, welcome to the podcast. This podcast is not about relationships and people cheating on one another. This is about MMA and people punching each other and kicking each other and all that fun stuff for money, nonetheless, and gambling, making money on it. I probably should introduce my associate co-host right away, because we have a very rare occurrence this week. He actually beat me, not just with his picks, also with the money. So he beat me money and picks, just by a little bit, but this is very rare air indeed. What can I tell you about this guy? I think I came up with another good nickname for him, and now I can't remember it. Dang it. It probably was really good and biting, too. And whatever. He goes by Gumby sometimes. He goes by Dano. Or the Dan, not Dano. Dano would be a good one, though. The Danimal. We haven't dug out the Ichabod. Not Ichabod. Yeah, Ichabod. Ichabod, son of Ichabod, the Bear Whisperer. Like I said, I had another awesome nickname for him. Maybe it'll come to me once I let him talk. Let's just bring him in here. He's got a really cute story about his son and how much his son loves me. His name is Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
So before we get into how awesome my son is, so did you call me Danho?
Dano.
Like the Man Mountain, George East Danho?
Oh, that's right. You want to be the Man Mountain? You are a Man Mountain.
The Man Mountain.
You're
mountain
a man from the mountains.
The Man Mountain Mountain Man.
Mountain Man. Exactly. All right, you tell the story. I'm going to remember what nickname I was going
to
give you.
Yeah, best of luck to you. So my son sat down at his like little play school table today with its little tiny stool, and he's only 3 years old, but he looked at the little like microphone spot that it had and said, "Hey, look, mommy, I'm talking to Jeff about MMA."
Isn't that cute, everybody?
Yeah, look at that. I apparently do enough of this show that my son took notice.
See? Plus, he knows I gave him cool presents when he was born. Atlanta Braves gear, I believe. Ronald Acuna, I believe I gave him a onesie or a something like that.
A small Acuna shirt for him. But he gets more use out of the Mickey Mouse branded Atlanta Braves gear.
You
gifted that to his brother. He's completely bogarted that. That was in his room now.
Yeah, there you go. His brother will not be pretending to talk to Uncle Jeff on the air because he doesn't know how generous I am. So, speaking of generous, the last night was very generous for Danimal, Dano, the man mountain, the man for the mountains, and everyone who fades his picks and not fades his picks, excuse me, tails his picks. Because for once, he actually made you guys some money. And it's not even a Tuesday night. What do you have to say for yourself? 8-3, up almost $300. I went 7-4, and I pretty much broke even. I was down about 26. So go ahead, bask in it.
I'm going to bask in it, especially because of the one that I hit hard on and told you it was silly to take an 0-4.
Yes.
An 0-4 UFC
veteran. I heard you
say
that.
Yeah, he was 0-4 UFC veteran. He was god awful at defending takedowns and fighting a guy who could wrestle, and for some reason came in at a -270 favorite. And there were people playing him. I actually had people tell me that there were people in the fight Slack. I can't remember who exactly it was in the fight Slack saying that Soriano messed up their parlay. I was like, what is he doing in there?
Yeah, in a parlay, yes.
Yeah, like of all the people you could throw in a parlay, you see a -270, and I don't mean to berate whoever this was. Like, the rest of your plays probably won because you listened to us. But -270 on a guy who's 0-4, you got to stay away from – especially because I was all over Shayoan. And I thought not to completely shit all over Sean Soriano here and not give Shayoan credit where credit was due, he also looked pretty good. Like, he doesn't look like a guy who's ever going to be ranked at featherweight, which is, like, notoriously one of the toughest divisions. Like, you know, Shane Burgos is barely hanging on to his ranking in that division. Never mind Shayoan Nuradan Beek. But, like, he did look good enough that he could hang around and beat a couple other dudes, especially anybody who's got bad wrestling.
Didn't see it, I'll have to admit. For some reason, TSN up here in Canada didn't play, like, they were supposed to play the prelims starting at 5, so I figured I would miss the first few, but I'd be able to catch them somewhere else, which I wasn't able to catch them somewhere else. And then they had tennis on, for God's sakes. They had tennis on until, like, 5:45, so I didn't see.
Is that your national sport up there, tennis?
Apparently, yeah. we had to watch a Djokovic fight, I want to say, play against Zverev or something.
I would watch Djokovic fight him.
Exactly. Pretty sure neither of them were Canadian, though. That's what I'm saying.
Honest question. I'm going to hit you with some Canadian trivia on this one. Do you know what the national sport of Canada is?
Curling?
Well, it's not curling. Do you want to take a second guess?
We invented basketball, so I know that. It's not basketball.
You invented basketball? It didn't come from Massachusetts?
A Canadian invented it, so you and I can both take credit for that.
Oh, okay, because I'm pretty sure we have the Hall of Fame, so I'm just checking.
It's true, and it's, in a very nice city too, right?
No, I wouldn't go to Springfield unless I was going to the Hall of Fame or somebody was pointing a gun at me, which would be pretty likely if I was going to Springfield.
You're totally like that's where the Simpsons are from, and you're not even willing to go there.
Not that. I mean, I'm positive they're not from that.
Such a Shelbyville. Yeah. You're such a Shelbyville lover, aren't you?
Yeah, I can be a Shelbyvillean. So
all right, it's not hockey, obviously.
Once, and it's not hockey. It's not curling.
What is
the national sport of Canada? I am stumped.
Lacrosse.
It is lacrosse.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay, that makes sense. Yes. Our indigenous people brought us lacrosse, so yes. And then we stole their land. So, yes, that's Canada for you.
That's the worst thing that Canadians did to Native Americans, too.
Yeah, that's it, eh?
That is it. Else in current events.
No, nothing. No, we don't talk about current events in this podcast at all. We'll talk about that on our Thanksgiving show coming up. How's that sound? Because we'll celebrate what we did to our native people. So enough of that. That's break down this fight card and see where we went right and where we went wrong. But first, WynnBET, ready to win money and boost your odds. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in all your favorite teams, players, sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. WynnBET has some brand new bonuses, including new users can bet $1 and win $100 in any sport. Plus, you can get up to $1,500 as a free bet on WynnBET if you make a first deposit of $20 or more. Whatever your first wager is, WynnBET will match it 200%. For example, you bet $100, you'll get a $200 free bet. Max wager match is $750, so they will match you $1,500. Dan's been giving out some good bets on this one. I'm not sure if your last one came through, though. I can't remember what it was. I think it did come through. It was it not?
Nuggets. I said to take Philly with the point to beat over the Nuggets, and not only did they didn't even need the point.
No,
they just went in straight up and beat up Philly or beat up the Nuggets in Denver.
Nuggets, yeah. Yeah, and Jokic wasn't playing, I think, that game, though, right? I think he was out, possibly.
Anyhow,
he might have
been. Yeah, if he was, he wasn't when I heard, but yeah. If you want a hot pick right now, take the Bulls tomorrow night, which would be Monday night. They're giving up 3.5, playing the Pacers. They should have no problem with the Pacers.
Oh, the Pacers are horrible this year.
They've been playing. I think the Pacers are going to ultimately be better. Like, Sabonis can't look this bad for this long. Brogdon, it's like playing, but not all that well. And like the Bulls are good enough to like pound them right now. But I think the Pacers will be back, but not for this week against the Bulls, who are probably, just as we're about to speak, about to beat the hell out of the Knicks. So
yes, because the Knicks aren't good ever since Dan said that they might be.
I asked you, are they
you
good?
That's a question.
Am I wrong or are the Knicks good? And the answer was a hard no.
Yes, he is wrong. The Knicks are bad, but WynnBET is good. We'll conclude with that. Great promos. Odds and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. For boosted parlays to live in-game odds in every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com. Also, let's tell you about PropSwap. We're brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. PropSwap always has the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a bet you like, but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair, then buy it. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will double it up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time, so your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Thousands of bettors across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. All right. Back to this podcast. This podcast gets dark very often, doesn't it? We were talking about genocide last podcast. We were talking about how horrible.
I mean, we were talking about genocide this time too. Yeah.
How horrible. It is not a joking matter, everyone. Lest you think that we're joking around about it. It's not a joking matter. We just joke about everything. I think we decided we're anti-genocide, but maybe not pro-murder, but we'll allow murder. I think we said with the Mongolian murderer.
I think we were fine with his nickname as long as it meant murder and not genocide. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right there.
Was last night murder for you to watch that event, Dan? A lot of people are saying it was the worst event like ever, but that's silly. I'm sure I've seen a lot more. There was a lot of good fights last night.
Well, and I would say this too, like from the perspective of, first of all, I think my view's a little skewed because I was winning a lot of things and things were being
true
in that way. So like ultimately that works out for me. But, like, yeah, like, everybody wants to see a finish. Everybody wants it. This is the first event where there wasn't a knockout in, so long. I know UFC 76, which was named knockout, had no knockouts, but this one also didn't. Don't you wish they went back to naming cards like that?
Yes, for sure.
Especially
pay-per-view. Like one does.
Yeah, although theirs are stupid as hell. It's like, this one is 1FC Willpower, and then next weekend is 1FC Willpower 2, and then 1FC Willpower 3, and then 1FC, like, Power Will. And, like, they don't even really change it all that much.
Hey, you better get used to one, because we got some dead weeks coming up, and you're going to be picking one fights, let me tell you. I'll tell you right now.
If that's the best thing going, we got some issues. Yes. I did see they had a card during the week, this week when we're off, and then I looked and I was like, Oh, there's three MMA fights on it, and it's just a kickboxing. Yeah. So, no, back to your original question, though. I thought there were a lot of fun fights, right? Like, Hani Yaya versus Kyung Ho Kang, very fun to watch.
Sure, because you had Yaya.
But not just because I had Yaya. That, there was some, like, objectively really fun grappling to watch there.
It was great when Yaya was lying on him and doing nothing for stretches of the fight.
Oh, my God. You can't you can't watch that fight and say he did nothing. He had him in guard. You're right. And as soon as he opened it up, he had that funky transition in the second round to a back control. Like, it was very good jiu-jitsu. He's, like, risky until he gets to the position he wants, which is very fun. There was also fun striking. Kyung Ho Kang striking on the feet with him was a lot of fun to watch, too, right? Yeah. Like, he had Yaya, he had him dizzy in the first round real bad. In the third round, he tagged him again before he wound up on the ground. Like, yeah, like, I thought that was objectively a good fight.
Well, main card probably was good. Sorry
Sean Brady Chiesa was good. Yanez Dayton Grant was good. Obviously, the Talia Santos-Joanne Wood fight was a lot of fun. The main event wasn't fun. So not the whole, like, that
yeah,
was
I guess not.
I didn't ever get done watching that. I thought Lupita Godinez versus Loma Lagbume was fun, and I didn't even get the winner in that. Sabatini Lutz was fun just because I think Sabatini's an absolute animal. Like, there were fun fights in there. Is it as fun as one where you see, you know, 10 knockouts? Hell no. But, like, as far as it being the worst card ever, it was a far cry from that.
Yes, that was very recency bias for sure, people that were saying that. So we did have a lot of decisions. We had, 10 decisions and one submission win. Yeah. Well, we did lose a fun fight hours before. Ferris Zayam and Terrence McKinney had to pull out because one of his corner men tested positive for COVID-19. I thought that was over in the States. It's not.
It is apparently not.
Fake news? No, he's not really sick. He's just got the cold or the flu or something, right?
I heard some people complaining, though, that, like, the fight got canceled because of that. But, like, I mean, like, it'll get booked again. They'll probably fight on December 4th. Right, like, Ferris Zayim is not flying home to France right now. I assume he's just staying in Vegas. He'll do a 2-week training camp. They'll fight December 4th.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. So, better for sure. And surprisingly, the UFC actually is willing to do things like this. But sometimes they do the correct thing, like putting female fighters at the top of fight cards. I was thinking that's such a rare thing. Like, you would, like, if. Say NBA and WNBA were having a doubleheader, and, like, the NBA teams were crappy and the WNBA teams were the best teams, the NBA team would go on last. Like, they wouldn't put the female athletes ahead. So that's one thing the UFC actually does right. They regardless of gender, they put the best fighters or the best fights ahead of ones that are less deserving.
Yeah, I would say so, although I would say it did seem like a weird choice given that you had a co-main event that was seemingly both a better fight and I think a more important fight to have five rounds in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, like, nobody thought Misha Tate Ketlin Vieta was going to be decided in the championship rounds. Whereas, like, I mean, like, if you gave Michael Chiesa two more rounds, he might have won that fight. Right. Like, and I'm saying that as somebody who really enjoys Sean Brady, was rooting for Brady, had picked Brady to win, and I still think, like, that would have been a more fun fight if he had two more rounds in it.
Yeah, but I guess Misha Tate's the biggest star on the card.
I think the placement on the card was almost 100% due to her former champ. Yeah.
Even though the I'm just checking the stats on my MMA site, MMA-Manifesto.com, Joanne Calderwood Wood is the one who's bringing the most traffic for some reason. So, and she didn't even win. Wasn't the main event. So
that's a real weird one to me. Yeah, that's a real weird one.
Anyhow, let's break down the card, especially the main event, since I got it right. Haha, Dan got it wrong. So I hit -120. Dan lost -105. Ketlin Vieira, 48-47, 48-47, 49-46. This is one of those, we talk about this from time to time, but I think this is one of those fights where, like, the loser comes out looking better than the winner in this one. Like, I was more impressed that Misha Tate stuck in there a full five rounds against a younger fighter with who's been active fighting while she was off having kids and working for the biggest promotion in the world, won. And Vieira is just frustrating to watch fight because she does just enough to win. Like, she was not putting her foot on the gas pedal like you would have hoped. Meanwhile, you know, Tate was a dog in there to steal that phrase. And I think she came out looking better than Vieira does, at least in my eyes.
So I'm going to say a couple of things. First of all, I don't think she comes out looking all that good. I mean, like, yes, she did look like a dog in there. You know, she was tough. She took a bunch of punches. She got her eye jacked up in the first round, and she kept moving forward. But I would say, ultimately, like, my opinion of her fighting still, with the chance of ever obtaining a title fight, plummeted with this fight. Because her ability to get in on wrestling attempts is pretty much non-existent anymore. You know, like, I was,
yeah,
like,
she didn't even really try.
Yeah, well, and I think she did try, but the problem is her footwork and her ability to get close to somebody without getting popped in the face is no longer there. And that used to be something she did really well. She used to be able to cut angles. She'd duck under punches. Her boxing might look better than it used to. But like, the fact that she can't get in on your legs anymore takes away everything that made her a champion. Right? Like, she was a champion because she could grapple. And now it looks like anybody who's a little bit bigger than her or can box decently can keep her away enough that she can't grapple. So while I agree with you, like, stock-wise, it did look like, oh, she's tough. She could still hang and all that kind of stuff. The piece of her that made her seems to be gone. And for me, I'm selling on Miesha Tate in the future of Miesha Tate. Kellen Vieira is also one who I think stock went way down in this fight. But I would say this. I think that this should not be a revelation for us, because looking back at her fights since she got knocked out bad by Irene Aldana, she has fought that kind of safe-ass tentative style since then. Like, I don't think she was that before, right? Like, she took it to Sarah McMahon and arm triangle choked her and looked good in the grappling. You know, like, she threw with Kat Zingano a little bit, like, and then she gets popped by Irene Aldana. Safe fight against Sajara Eubanks. Same fight against Yana Kunitskaya, gets reversed at the end and winds up losing that fight. Safe fight against Miesha Tate. I think she's losing a little bit of what made her too, right? Is that she's way bigger than people. She hits like a truck and she can grapple well. And she looked interested in doing none of those things, with the exception of grappling a little bit in the first round, which Andre Pettinaris then said, don't fucking do that anymore. So, like, I mean, like, yeah, selling on her too. So I don't know what this does for either woman in the long run, but I would say it's not good. This, if anything, made the bantamweight division look worse than it already was.
Yeah, very true. I think I'm more down on Vieira than I am up on Tate. I think
this too. I would say this. So I also felt real down on Vieira on fight night. I don't know how much of the commentary you were listening to, but I was like,
that didn't help.
So they were shitting on her, but they were also being like, the young buck coming in here to take out the older lion, and she's not taking her. You know, she's only 4 years younger than Miesha Tate. She's 30 years old. Like, there was barely an age gap there. And they were talking about Ketlin Vieira like she was like Aaron Blanchfield at like 21, or Macy Barber, or like, you know, any of those.
Ooh, Macy Barber? Did you say Macy Barber?
You know I hate Macy Barber, but she is a young hype. But they were talking about her like she was some young hype prospect like that. And like, she's 30. Like, she isn't that young in the fight world, especially in the women's bantamweight world. Like, so.
Yeah, maybe they have rose-colored glasses on because she was the Mr. Cage champion back in the day, remember?
Yeah, oh, Mr. Cage!
And the big weight champion also.
The Mr. Cage women's champion.
Exactly, so I think, okay, I'm looking at the rankings I have, performance rankings I run on MMA-manifesto.com. She's gone, by the way, loss, win, loss, win. She's another one of those ones. We got a pattern going here. She's moved up. She was seventh. Now she's moved up to fifth. She's behind the champ, obviously, Nunes. Irene Aldana, Aspen Ladd, and the pregnant Yana Kunitskaya. So what are they going to do with her next?
So I actually have an outside-the-box suggestion. I would like to see her fight Norma Dumont next.
Sure.
Because
– Get slaughtered?
I mean, I don't know necessarily that she fought her. Like, both of them fought, like, kind of tentative, boring fights against people.
Yeah,
I mean, very different people, right? Like, Aspen Ladd didn't want to win. Misha Tate very clearly did want to win. But I think, like, Norma Dumont has said she does still want to try 35, but even if she didn't, let Ketlin Vieta go up to 45. She's enormous for 35. She would not be outsized at 45. And it would let Norma Dumont get another crack at, like, am I actually good enough here, or was that a very weird performance against a very weird Aspen? I think it would, like, answer some questions. Because Ketlin Vieta, like, if you look at the UFC's official ranking, she's right behind Yana Kunitskaya right now, who just beat her. So, and she's behind Aspen Ladd and Juliana Pena and, you know, Irene Aldana, who beat her, too. She's not, like, at that level where we give her Holly Holm or Jermaine Durandamy to see if she can actually do it. Yeah. So and, I'd say just to mix her up with Dumont.
And as for Tate, I think the main thing is she showed that she could hang in there and she could last five rounds. So I think I have no problem seeing her fight.
No, I think she's
continuing to fight as not a title challenger, that's all.
You know who I'd kind of like to see her fight? I'd like to see her run it back with Raquel Pennington. Because that was a fight that Pennington won all of those years back.
The retirement fight.
Yeah, and it was like the one where we were like, oh, shit, Tate doesn't want to be here anymore. So now that she has this, like, she wasn't as good as she was back then. Like, she's lost a step. Although her boxing is better. I do mean to keep harping on that. Like, her boxing is much better. I do think it would be fun to see her run it back with, like, a completely different mindset and being like, oh, I do want to be here now. Give her a chance to get that one back. Because like you said, like, I don't want to see her against title challengers right now. She's clearly outclassed by people who are bigger or can stuff wrestling. So yeah, I'd allow that. I'd also say Aspen Ladd wouldn't be a bad option either. You know, at Ladd being somebody who, fought her last fight.
They hate each other.
Yeah. They clearly don't like each other, right? There's that storyline there. She said all that shit about, being coached by your boyfriend / husband.
By the way, she is coached by Misha is also coached by her.
Although I'll say,
it's totally different.
He's a corner man. I think he's her head coach because she trains at Extreme Couture.
Yeah.
It also has the head coach of Sick Jitsu in her corner too. I think Rick Little is also in her corner. So
he's
she
not
has
close
like
her age.
That's another thing too. Actually, I think he's younger than her, right? Because didn't she coach him on The Ultimate Fighter?
Oh, so she's
Johnny,
the one.
Johnny Munoz?
Robin
right?
The Cradle, yes.
Wasn't he on the Ultimate Fighter? Yeah, so I think, I think Raquel Pennington, Aspen Ladd, both fun fights for her. But yeah, to put an exclamation mark on your original point, she definitely is cool staying around. If Misha Tate 2.0 wants to mix it up in the top 10 to 15 right now, for sure, let her keep doing that.
Let's move on to a fight that actually matters, the co-main event. Both these guys can stick around because they're both fun to watch. Sean Brady, we both got this pick right, and some degenerate on the Slack said he went in 5 units on Brady because of Dan. So lucky he did come through for us. -176. It was Dan's lock pick, so he added 56.82 to his lock stash, but he's still well in the red. 18-14 down. Just you're under $400 now, Dan. You're only down $396.
I got time.
You got time. There's three events left, right? You got plenty of time. So we got this one right. Went pretty much exactly how we would have pictured it to go. 29-28, 29-28, 29-28. Like, did Chiesa really, like, just that little flurry he did at the end of the third round, is that really enough to steal a round?
I gave him the third. I definitely give him. And that's coming from somebody who really wanted Brady. Like, when you think about who was closer to finishing the fight in the third, it was not Sean Brady. Sean Brady was not the one who did more damage. He was not the one. Like, the only way you could score round three, in my opinion, for Sean Brady is if you score fights only based on who has control for 2 minutes and 31 seconds. Because in that case, he was in control of 2 minutes and 31 seconds of that round, at least. But the seconds that Michael Chiesa was in charge, like, dude, if he hit a couple more uppercuts or had a few more seconds there at the end of that round, dude, he might have won that. Like, give him another minute after he made it to mount. I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Chiesa finished that fight. Like, yeah, I 100% wouldn't. It like, not that I'm selling stock in Sean Brady, because I do still think he is one of the bigger threats in this division right now. It did give me a lot of questions about his striking, especially as we get later into fights. Like, Michael Chiesa shouldn't be tagging you up. That's a bad sign. So
yeah, I expected him. Like, I was writing that and stuff. I probably said it on the podcast, last podcast too. I expected him to be the better striker here, but
I think he was, though. Here's the problem.
More dangerous striker, perhaps. Yeah.
I think as it got to round three, he had gotten very comfortable, right? Like, things had worked.
Yeah.
As according to plan for Sean Brady in rounds one and two, as they possibly could. He took him down. He controlled him. He took his back. So much so that Michael Chiesa was joking with him in the fight, like, hey, you're pretty fucking good. Like, he couldn't even – like, there was nothing Chiesa could do. And I think Brady got lulled into that a little bit. And then he came out in the third round, and Chiesa came balls to the wall with the striking in that round, which I don't think Brady was ready for. And maybe he needed that wake-up moment. But, like he needed to taste a little bit of adversity there. But ultimately, yeah, like, I think if you square them off in round one and tell them neither can wrestle, I think you still see Brady being the better striker.
Yeah. So obviously he passed the biggest test of his career here, but there I still think there's levels here. Like, if he fought Khamzat Chimaev, I think Khamzat would probably destroy him. I think
I don't know.
You don't think so?
I mean, like,
or Chimaev.
Would I maybe pick Khamzat? I might pick Khamzat in that fight, but I would say this: like, Brady out wrestling Michael Chiesa for two whole rounds, and then the beginning part of the third round plays a lot better for me as far as resume building as taking Li Jingliang down once.
Yeah.
Right? Like, don't get me wrong, Li Jingliang, really good fighter, awful takedown defense. Like, a notoriously bad takedown defense. Like, he only defends, like, 50% of his takedowns. He got taken down an assload of times by Neil Magny. Jake Matthews took him down and dominated him and beat him by decision. Like, he got choked out by Keita Nakamura. Like, there are people who take him down regularly. Frank Camacho took him down, who is both not a welterweight and not a wrestler. So, like, he is not a guy who I think of as being a good wrestler. So, like, that takedown does nothing for me. And meanwhile, who have we seen Khamzat Chimaev take down in a UFC fight? We've seen him take down Li Jingliang. We've seen him take down who's the Welsh dude there? John Phillips, who his moniker is the White Mike Tyson. It's not the White Jordan Burroughs. It's the White Mike Tyson. And then we saw him take down Reese McKee. Three dudes who are notoriously awful at takedown defense. So, you know, if he had wrestled up Gerald Meerschaert, you know, I'd have a little bit more faith in it. But, like, right now we're talking about Khamzat Chimaev being, like, the greatest wrestler of all time. And, like, he hasn't wrestled anybody. Like, he hasn't had to. And that's not his fault either. But, like, before I'm ready to anoint him, like, the best wrestler in the welterweight division, you know, let's see him fight Gilbert Burns. Let's see him fight Vicente Luque. Let's see him. I mean, even Michael Chiesa would be a huge step up from where he was. Bilal Muhammad or Neil Magny would be steps up in terms of wrestling, because Neil Magny wrestled the shit out of Li Jingliang. So,
Really or not?
I mean, I didn't check, but, like,
okay. Just wondering if I missed something. Go ahead.
No, I think that was only was it Justine? I don't mean to help.
Justine Kish. Yes.
It was Justine Kish, though, right? Yes. Like,
never forget, Dan.
No offense to Justine. I've interviewed Justine Kish. Very nice woman.
Yes.
But yeah, like, I wouldn't say he's a huge favorite in that fight. He might be even a better striker, but, you know, like, you're right. I don't think Sean Brady has now granted himself, like, a fight with Gilbert Burns, or he's fought, you know, he gets the Colby Covington fight now or anything like that. But the win over Michael Chiesa should book him with, like Wonder Boy. Like, why can't
that
he fight?
Next question. Yes.
Yeah. Wonder Boy.
Wonderboy's got a fight now. Wonderboy's fighting Bilal Muhammad, isn't he?
Oh,
he's fighting someone soon.
I don't feel
he's
like
he's fighting someone soon.
Well,
I remember seeing.
Am I wrong? That's not going to go well for Bilal.
No.
But also, like, So I'd love to see him fight Jorge Masvidal, honestly. Okay. Like, I think yeah. that would be, like, a good stepping stone for him. But he's not going to
take him that fight.
He's never going to take that fight. Why would he take that fight? Luque, Leon Edwards, yeah. those guys would be good fights for him. You know, like, maybe he just gets the winner of Wonderboy and Bilal Muhammad. Like, that's a decent decent setup, too. So, you know, there's a lot of things
I'm checking if I made that up or not. I didn't make it up. Last fight of the year, last fight card of the year.
So then that means they'll be on roughly the same time length, right? Like, book sometime in March, Sean Brady versus the winner of that. And you know, I think you pretty much mint yourself a new challenger. I'd also love to see him fight Colby Covington. I just don't think Colby Covington is ever going to take a fight again.
Interesting.
And I don't mean to be like mean towards Colby Covington, but the dude, I mean, like, lost his last title fight and was like, okay, I will fight the most washed dude you can find, and then I will wait, and you can give me my title shot. And props to him, he got it. But I can't see that happening again. So I think you're just going to see Colby Covington on the shelf forever. So I'd like to see him against the winner of Wonderboy and Bilal Muhammad.
I will not stand for you crapping on Colby Covington on this podcast, Dan. He's the salt of the earth, Colby Covington.
I would say this, like, if for as much shit as I give Colby Covington for having, like, the worst shtick in MMA, if it is in fact a shtick, which, first of all, I think we've talked about it, like, he doesn't like getting shit because it's a shtick, but he does like getting popularity because it's a shtick. Either get the shit and the popularity, or you get neither. You don't get to play both. You don't get the best and not the worst, but
yeah, I made the rules.
I'll make the rules on that one. You don't get to play a shtick and not get the heat for it. So for as much shit as I give him, he's the second best fighter in that division. I'm 100% positive. If Kamaru Usman's not there, he's the champ. It's probably him and Gilbert Burns at a trilogy for the title multiple times. So you know, it like sucks that this happens, but hey, happens to fighters all the time that they become the 1A to somebody's 1.
But there's a good chance if it wasn't for his garbage made-up shtick, we wouldn't realize that he was 1A because he wouldn't have gotten all these opportunities. That's the saddest thing about it.
Honest question. Yes. Do you feel like that's true?
Yes.
You really?
I don't think he would be headlining. He's a wrestler. He's not. He was struggling to make a mark before he became this.
You think he'd be like Leon? You think he'd be Leon Edwards?
I'm sure. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I actually think he'd do better. Because I would say this, like, him and Leon Edwards, you're right, both don't have the most exciting style. So if he had the same shit talking game as Leon Edwards, would he be down a step? For sure. The performance he put on Robbie Lawler is more entertaining than almost any performance Leon Edwards has ever had outside of his, like, 14-second knockout of Seth Baczynski 150 years ago, right? Like no Leon Edwards fight has ever made me be like, holy shit, that dude just does not stop. You know,
is he getting that fight, though, without being who he is? That's the thing.
Who would he be leading up to that? Like, he had beaten some dudes, right? Like, I think so. So this shouldn't be a Colby Covington debate show, but
no, it shouldn't. That's next week's. We need a topic
week,
on Wednesday.
Next week we just debate bad racist shticks, and next on the docket is Cody Durden.
Oh well, he is coming up soon enough. Good fight, Brady Chiesa. Went the way we predicted it, which made it an even better fight, right? Let's move on to, unless you want to talk about Colby some more, by all means, we can do that.
I'm good. I'm good, actually. Good?
You got it off your chest. You good? Okay.
Do you think he's gonna be on the Ultimate Fighter?
You're not Ultimate Fighter. It all comes back to the Ultimate Fighter. Women's flyweight, Talia Santos got the only finish of the night over Joanne Calderwood. Rear naked choke submission, but basically this is more
with the hand,
more of a TKO victory. Yes, Wood pretty much said, okay, fine, choke me out because you're beating the crap out of me on the feet and you got me down. You're beating the crap out of me on the ground. So very good win for Talia Santos, biggest win of her career. I'm checking my rankings here. This moves her. She already was ranked very high in my rankings. Now she's 4-1 in the UFC. She moved from fifth up to fourth. She went ahead of Dan's favorite, Macy Barber, who is ranked fourth. Can you believe that? She's got a lot of finishes, though. That gets you points in my ranking system. So she's behind Valentina Shevchenko, Jessica Andrade, Caitlin Chookagian, and then Talia Santos. Do you think she deserves to be in that rare?
Yeah, I do. And here's the other thing I will say. I said this before the fight, so I don't even have to break this down. Go back and listen to me last week. I said she is what people think Andrea Lee is. Like, after Andrea Lee's performance last week, she is that. Andrea Lee is not that. No. She is already that, right? Like, she is dangerous. Yeah. She's dangerous in such a way that makes you have questions about if she did this one or two things better. Could she challenge Valentina Shevchenko? She's not the type of fighter who would lose to Roxanne Modafferi. She's better. For her, like, I think she belongs in, like, a number one contender's fight at this point. Like, the way she blasted through Joanne Wood, JoJo Calderwood, the way she blasted through her, I think, like, you have to put her in that Caitlin Chookagian, Lauren Murphy, Jessica Andrade, like, that level, and just give her one of them. And I'm going to say this, like, with a fair amount of confidence, when she beats that other person, and I include Lauren Murphy in that because I do really like Lauren Murphy, when she beats that other person, then set her up with the title fight. Because I think she does need one more. I think she needs to iron some things out. But, like, this is the type of performance that makes you say, damn, like, she's here. Like, this is somebody. And here's the other thing, too, is that, you know, like, her striking looked incredible, and with power. Yeah. She's shown really good wrestling in the past, right? Like, that's how she beat Roxy. She beat Roxy with her takedown. So, I say give her Lauren Murphy, give her Caitlin Chookagian, give her Jessica Andrade. Let's let it happen. See where it's at, and set her up for that title fight.
Yeah, since dropping her debut split decision to Mara Romero Barella, she's beaten Molly McCann, Jillian Robertson, Roxanne Modafferi, now Joanne Wood. Not a can in the bunch of that. This was a decisive victory, and she finished her off. So yeah, definitely. It not like flyweight's not the most stacked division. It's the most. It's the newest division in the UFC. So it's still, and it has a dominant champion on top. So it doesn't have a whole bunch of other top fighters in it. So yeah, definitely. Roll the dice with her. See how she is. And then Joanne Wood, not willing to wait, even though Dana White says waiting for title fights is not the way to go. But she had a title fight given to her, and she wasn't willing to wait for the champ to get healthy. And I think she's not going to get another chance at a title shot after the way she's gone. One win in her last four. And she did not look good.
Yeah, and I would say she just looked outmatched. It wasn't even she was not particularly good. But I would emphasize what you said in that it seems like her chance at a title shot's over. She's 34. In addition to being 1-3 in her last four, like in most of the people who have beaten her and are in front of her right now, like they haven't gone anywhere, right? Like, so when you've lost the people and they're right there in front of you and they're not going away, they're going to get title shots before you do, and you're 34. Yeah, it doesn't seem good for her, which is too bad. Again, she kind of sits in that Misha Tate realm, though, where, like, she's good. Like, you don't want to see her stop fighting. She's fucking really fun to watch. Like, I'm a big Joanne Calderwood fan. Like, her style has always been good to watch, but yeah, like I don't think it's there anymore.
No, and another fighter married to their coach also. So that's maybe we should do the off weeks. We can do a top five fighters married to their coaches, perhaps.
Do I know five? I mean, like, Aspen Ladd's not married to him, but we'll count Aspen Ladd.
But we'll say couples with
Aspen Ladd, Jim Gold. We got Joanne Calder Woodwood in John Wood. We've got John Wood. You could say Misha Tate, Johnny Munoz, if you want. Yeah. Pat Barry and Rose Namajunas. Do you count that one? I mean, her head coach is
for sure.
As long as we're not saying head coach.
Yeah.
And is it Talia Santos who has her girlfriend in the
corner?
Oh, maybe. There's another one. Antonina Shevchenko is married to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had no idea who trained her for the longest time. I don't even know what team she belongs to.
Does this give you the creeps at all or not? But so they started training with him when Valentina was 5. So I guess Antonina was like 8 or 9. And now she's married to the coach. Is that strange at all in your part of the neck of the woods?
It is. But was
just
it,
checking.
You know, again, I don't mean to call everybody and their coaches and / boyfriends. I think Pat Barry, when Rose Namajunas started training at that gym, was like, I think Pat Barry was like 25 and she was like 15 or something like that, which is just like kind of unsavory. And the Aspen Ladd Jim West one is the same thing too, I think.
Yep. But that's... We're this show's not about that. This show's about genocide, but we're not about that.
Right? And Colby Covington.
And Colby Covington.
Hey, there's your title. genocide
Colby and Colby Covington.
Genocide Colby Covington and dating your coach.
we are about better fantasy, though. I'm sure they love us transitioning into that after what we just said. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that lets you sync your fantasy football league and bet on the matchups. You can cash out for gift cards when your bets hit and even help raise money for charity along the way. Brand new company looking to grow their early adopter community, so you can help them out here. It's a slick app, very fun to use. One of the reasons we love using it is they also offer prop betting. So if you're in a state that hasn't legalized gambling yet, you can get in some prop bets on Better Fantasy. Totally free to play. Download today on iPhone and Android. You can check them out at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's BETTORfantasy.com/SGPN. And Prize Picks. Have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is a daily fantasy made easy. I didn't have to put a "the" in there, but I did anyway. I love this, and I know you will too. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players as well as bench players, only recording a handful of minutes each game. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. All of your users that deposit and use our promo code, so all our users that use our promo code, which of course is SGP, will receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Just be sure to use the promo code SGP. Here's how it works. You get 2 to 5 players and an over-under on the projections, and you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry, and it's just you versus projected numbers. Plus, PrizePicks allows mixed sport entries, so you can take the over on LeBron combined with the under on Mahomes in the same entry. Use the award-winning app on Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com. Use promo code SGP to get your 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Or go to your app store and download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. I think the nickname for you, I was going to say, it wasn't really a nickname. I was going to say you're the most social, antisocial person I know. Perhaps I was going to say that. Maybe.
Yeah.
Dude's always got plans. He says he claims he doesn't like people, but he's always got plans.
They're not by my choice. Like, people get married. You can't not go to those things.
That's true.
It's
true.
And then, you know, people talk to you and you.
People talk to you. It's the worst.
It's the fucking worst, man.
I know what else I was going to mention off the top. I'm not sure if you saw the email I sent a while ago, but I was checking our stats, and we are ranked in Spain now in the top 50 podcasts in Spain. What do you think of that?
Shout out Spain. Shout out all my amigos.
Top 50 wrestling podcasts, of course, because this is a wrestling podcast. So
yeah.
So I was going to make you
Que tal mis amigos.
I was going to make you. I was going to make you do the podcast in Spanish because I figured you're American. Of course, you know Spanish, just like we all speak French up here in Canada.
I am. I wouldn't say I'm conversationally proficient, but if I had to converse with a couple of managers in Spanish one time for some interviews I wanted to do with a Mexican prospect, and I can fluently read Spanish.
I'm better at reading languages too.
Yeah, like I can fully read Spanish, and I can talk it if you give me like enough time to like think about it and you like talk slowly. But if you like speed it up, I'm only gonna like catch keywords and shit. And then I can say like a handful of sentences in Dutch too. That's what I got. I got most close to fluent Spanish, and I can say "Ik ben een schildpad" in Dutch, which loosely translates to "I am a turtle."
Yes, I am. Yeah, it's, I've been learning German since the pandemic started, so I knew what it's very similar to German what you said. So.
Oh yeah, yes. They're almost identical. Yeah.
And we have lots of German. Germany's still the third, I think, third most popular country that listens to our podcast. So
Germany's probably like when I need to speak Portuguese to a manager, and I continue to say Spanish with a funky accent, and that gets me by. German and Dutch, same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How about Hani Yaya? Could you talk to Hani Yaya, you think?
I've interviewed Hani Yaya.
Yeah. We're moving on to him next.
He's a super nice dude. I think I talked to him in Renato Moicano in one day one time.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Just fun Brazilian guys.
Yes, Hani, a very good story, Hani Yaya, even though I did pick against him. He beat the Korean Cornrows is what I decided his name is going to be now, since John got super mad that he's called Mr. Perfect, and obviously was not perfect and lost that fight. Lost that fight for me. It was a pick 'em fight, so Dan got Yaya at a -115, which was a nice little payout for you. If I guess it's not Kang. They were calling him Kong. Is it really Kong? Not pronounced Kang.
Yeah, I think it's like you remember what? You remember being a baseball fan in the 90s and everybody said Chan Ho Park?
Yes.
It wasn't Chan Ho Park. It was Chan Ho Park. So I think Kyung Ho Kang is actually Kyung Ho Kong in the same way. But I don't think anybody's going to call you out for calling him Kyung Ho Kang.
Well, thank God. I was worried. Especially not Jong, because Jong's angry at all his countrymen, his Korean fighters that lose. So Kong Kang looked pretty damn good on the feet, like I expected. He had Yaya on skates a bunch of times, but got himself taken down a bunch. And Yaya won 29-28. He's actually put together, I'm just going to check the rankings here. He's getting up there in my rankings here. He's put together quite a run as of late for an old guy. 13-4 in the UFC now. He's won, what, 5 out of 6, which is very impressive. He's jumped way up. He's up to, like, 12th now in my rankings or so. So he's getting into the ranked territory, which is not something we probably saw coming for how old is he? He's got to be, what, late 30s by now?
I'm checking.
37.
So he's late 30s. But also, in addition to being late 30s, he's got a lot of miles on the tire.
Yes.
Like, I remember the first week I was at college, I told my roommates, I actually had two, that we had to watch WEC 30. It was the first week.
September 5th, 2007, excuse me.
Yeah, so September 5th, 2007, the first week I was at college, I told them we had to watch WEC 30, which I want to say was on Versus, and we got that in our dorm room so that I could watch Hani Yaya fight for the title at WEC 30.
And who did you lose to, Dan?
Hang on a second. Give me a second. It wasn't Rob McCullough, because Rob McCullough was fighting somebody else that night. That was the actual main event.
Is he not Canadian?
Rob McCullough?
Maybe not. Anyhow, who did he fight?
Razor Rob McCullough. Oh, he fought Chase Beebe.
Yes.
I almost said Mark Hominick, but I think he had beaten Mark Hominick prior to that.
That's a Canadian. Yes, he beat Mark Hominick WC 28. So this is just we like to kill time. This is a roundabout way of telling you he's been around since 2002.
He's fucking been around.
And he's probably on, you could say he's on his best role right now, possibly. He won four straight a while ago. And
when
he won
Johnny Bedford and Matthew.
Yeah, 7 of 8, which was like pretty impressive. Yeah, but anyhow, this was an impressive victory. I don't know if there's anything else we need to say about it. Superfan Jong on the SGPN Slack on Discord, which you all should get in. Not Discord, Slack. Get in on Slack. Was quite upset at his fight IQ here.
I don't think his don't get me wrong. His fight IQ was bad in one moment, but not another. So, like, his fight IQ was bad when he followed Hani to the ground in the third and got swept. Yep. I am not ready to say his fight IQ was bad in the second because he hit that leg kick multiple times in the first, and I think it led to his hands being better. So, like, you can't just take that leg kick away and be like, oh, just box. You were having successful with the boxing. He was having success with the boxing because the leg kick was a part of the game. So for him to get taken down on that leg kick in the second round and lose that way, like, I don't think that was bad fight IQ. That was part of the game plan that he was trying to avoid, and, like, it just didn't work out for him. Following him to the ground in the third was a very dumb idea. So, yes, some bad fight IQ, but maybe not as bad as some people slash superfan Jong were saying.
Very true. So I got that one wrong. We both got the next one right. The opener on the main card, Adrian Yanez.
You know, did you get it right? Was Tony Weeks.
Yes, Tony Weeks, who is one of the judges last night. He had Davy Grant win 3-0, while the other two judges had it 2-1 for Adrian Yanez. So that's one of those scorecards that was way out there. We had Yanez at -313, so we hit that one. It looked very good, but Davy Grant looked extremely tough in there.
Yeah, do you want to know what the craziest part of this is?
No.
Is Tony Weeks getting Tony Weeks getting that crazy wrong? He's a boxing judge / referee,
yes,
if I'm not mistaken.
And that was a boxing match.
It was a boxing match, and who could have watched that as a boxing match and been like, oh, Davy Grant's got it going. Like, and I get that Davy Grant thought he won that fight. Like, of course you thought you won that fight. You're, like, in the middle of the fight. But, like, any punch that Davy Grant, quote-unquote, landed rolled off of Adrian Yanez. Because the way Adrian Yanez moves boxing – like, I know the debate always is, like, who's the best boxer in MMA. Like, Adrian Yanez deserves to be at least mentioned in that conversation because, dude, the way he defensively rolls off of punches is beautiful. It is objectively one of the best defensive boxing efforts that, like, he's Diaz-esque in his way to roll with a punch, which is really impressive. And in addition to that, all of the technical aspects of his boxing are right there. So, yeah, like, I continue to be more and more impressed with Yanez, and I thought a fight with Davy Grant was going to be, like, a squash match. It wasn't, and my stock on Adrian Yanez is still up. So,
yes.
It's crazy that we can say that, but it is. Excited to see him get fucking a ranked opponent at some point in time. Excited to see what he does with another good boxer. Excited... I mean, he also stuffed the takedown, which is worth noting. Davy Grant's a good grappler. Adrian Yanez. I mean, what more could be said? The dude's great on the mic. He's, like, super, super out in social media. He, like, fun to watch. He's now got a bonus in all four fights he's been in the UFC. Like, get it done.
Impressive.
Get it done, Adrian Yanez.
Pretty impressive. Speaking of impressive, guess how many points the Phoenix Suns just scored in the first quarter against the Denver Nuggets, Dan, as we're recording this?
Ooh, it's got to be a lot if you're saying
it.
Let's say 42.
48.
Oh, Jesus, in one quarter?
Wow, okay. Yes.
Who is it doing the damage?
Now I got to go and check, Dan, because that's – you're going to get a lot of lists over the next few weeks, let me tell you, people. Going to get a lot of –
You want to listen to me and Jeff Reed basketball scores on air?
11 points for Jay Crowder. Go figure.
And that's
nine
it?
Nine for Booker, nine for Ayton. Yeah, it looks like it's well-rounded scoring. Yeah, we're going to read box scores for the next week's show.
Also, we did tell you the Bulls were going to beat the shit out of the Knicks, and they're already kind of beat the shit out of the Knicks, so –
there you go. So that was the main card, and I don't think there's a dot among the bunch of that.
Except for Caitlin Vieira and Misha Tate, maybe.
Yeah, I guess. That was, because it was kind of frustrating, it's true. All right, let me tell you about SoBet. They're not frustrating. Since when did sports betting become so rigid? Sports betting is meant to be social. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches tossing bets around in a speakeasy. SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. SoBet is changing the game with their new product. Head over to SoBet.io and create an account to see for yourself. Through their fully functioning and free web application, you can access a demo of their app, which will launch next fall. The app includes consensus lines from Vegas, a feed of what other bettors are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via text, QR codes, and links among other methods. No money is transacted on the app and is purely competitive. Next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch. Go to SoBet.io and see who can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off Las Vegas odds or generate a bet by changing any metric they want, as long as somebody is on the other side to accept. Let's get back to the roots of betting with SoBet. Go to SoBet.io. That's SoBet.io today to join the revolution. And, of course, if you haven't already, download our app. The SGPN app is now live in App Store and Google Play. The app gives you easy access to all our picks and podcasts. And don't forget to toss us an app review and download the SGPN app today. That reminds me also, make sure you subscribe to the MMA Gambling Podcast feed so you can get this our podcast as soon as they drop in your ears. And we did a great job killing time. We haven't even gotten to the prelims yet, Dan, and we've already done a full podcast basically. So guess we should get moving. Adrian Yanez, Davey Grant.
These are easy yeah, and fast, so yeah.
Yanez and Grant rightfully won Fight of the Night. There wasn't really any competition for that. That was an easy one to predict. Also, in the pick'em contest I run on my MMA site, the majority of people had that one pegged as Fight of the Night going into it.
Do you think that was the Fight of the Night? I actually thought Brady.
Yeah, that was good, too. But you're a grappling nerd, so.
Yeah.
People like blood and punching.
Even Kyung Ho Kang versus Hani Yaya could have been it.
Yeah, that's good. And Talia Santos was the only performance of the night winner, which I haven't seen that happen before. She got the only finish, so she got $50,000 bonus. UFC,
it seems shitty, too, because the UFC got rid of calling it knockout of the night and submission.
Right,
if you're old enough to remember those, they got rid of those because they were sick of there being, like, three sick knockouts and having to give one to the shitty, like, rear naked choke and instead wanting to give him the two knockouts. So then why can't you give one to a guy with a decision who put in a good performance, like the guy we're about to talk about, Pat Sabatini, beat the living hell out of Tucker Lutz?
they've done that. They did that fairly recently, I think.
They've given it to a decision.
Right? Yeah. Anyhow, fine, Dan. You got this one right.
It should be a guy who, like Pat Sabatini. By the way, this was 30-26. It should have been 30-25.
Yeah, I wasn't – from here on out, it's going to be you breaking down the prelims quickly because I stepped in halfway through this fight. That's when they finally decided to show it up here in Canada. So you had Sabatini -150. I had Lutz +115. Go ahead. Quick breakdown on it.
Do you remember why you picked Tucker Lutz?
I think I said something stupid like, let me think. He's bigger. He's a better, more active striker, and he's a solid grappler. But yeah,
I think you said he had better grappling stats.
Well, he had better grappling stats, but not anymore. Yeah.
And then I yelled because he had grappled up against Sherrard Blackledge.
Yeah, whereas yelled Pat at me Sabatini, about Sherrard Blackledge.
Yeah, and Pat Sabatini heel hooked Jamal Emmers, who's notoriously a good wrestler. And Pat Sabatini made Tucker Lutz look like he's never grappled before, which is pretty much what I predicted. By the way, quick shout out to anybody who liked that tweet I had, which I thought was just like a very simple tweet and going to get like the 8 to 10 likes that it normally does. I just looked on Twitter, which I hadn't been on in a while, had over 200 likes. Team Daniel Gracie / which is Henzo Gracie Philly, right now is four guys in the UFC. Sean Brady, 5-0. Pat Sabatini, 3-0. Andre Petrosky, 2-0. Jeremiah Wells, 1-0. So current record for Daniel Gracie Jiu-Jitsu / Henzo Gracie Philly guys, 11-0 in the UFC. Time to stop picking against Henzo Gracie Philly.
Yep. Dan told us that a long time ago. He was an early adopter here, so... All right, next fight. I got right. You got it wrong. Rafa Garcia, -118, beat the newcomer Nathan Levy, -109. And
yeah.
It was, 29-28, 29-28, 29-28. And as Dan said before, Sabatini was 30-26 and then 2-30-27. So go ahead. Garcia, Levy.
Levy looked good in the first, clearly tired and didn't have enough to do his karate the whole time. Garcia wound up being a better wrestler, which I was surprised by. So hats off to him for that. Not excited to see either of them. They'll both get slaughtered by most lightweights.
All right, moving on. I got the next one right, too. I will call it Canadian.
This was your hot run.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. The Canadian, because she won. Lupita Godinez, Lupi. Plus, she's very likable. Beat Loma Lukbunmi, her of the famed... famed. What is she famed of, Dan?
Loma Lugbume? Oh, she got good foot sweeps. She
did one too.
She had one foot sweep and one head and arm throw, which they were.
All really I heard was on Dan's podcast was foot sweep, foot sweep, foot sweep. So anyhow, the foot sweeps did not get her a victory. She lost 29-28 across the board. It sounds like Godinez just out wrestled her the whole fight, correct?
Not the entire fight. You know, it's funny. I said in the pre-fight show that Lupita Godinez and Loma Lugbume would be decided in the first 30 seconds. We'd see if she could wrestle. And actually, it was funny. Loma Lugbume actually stuffed the early wrestling attempts. And then
she thought you were good.
And I thought I was in the clear. I was like, man, I hit this one too. Because as you'll see, I hit the next three. But it wound up being... Like, I think Loma wore out a little bit, or the persistence of Lupita Godinez started to work, or Lupita Godinez found other holes, because she wound up hitting some really big double legs and some really big, like, high-angle slams and shit. So, Lupita Godinez, low-key, like, strawweight spoiler right now, right? Like, at strawweight so far in the UFC... She's 2-1, so that's just disqualifying the loss of Luana Carolina. And, man, she only lost a split to Jessica Penne. Like, man, I'd love to see her in there with – you know, there's a lot of people I'd love to see her in there with. But hopefully she gets another one booked soon because she likes to fight.
Long, no.
She likes to fight every weekend if she can.
Exactly. Anything to get her out of Canada,
She actually said that in the interview with me. She said, when I'm in the cage, it's the happiest time of my life. And she said, what was the other thing she said? She said, it's the happiest time of my life, so I would fight every weekend if they let me. She's just fucking nutty shit, man.
Well, she's loopy, so what do you think?
Yeah. I mean,
she's loopy, after all. Kuiling Ayori, who I was in on, lost 29-28 to Cody Durden. Durden minus 160. Dan hit that one, and Durden sent him back to China, right, Dan? That's what I think I heard after the fight.
Do we have to talk about?
Because
I picked him, and I was right. And
you're ashamed of yourself, aren't you?
Still feel real bad about it. Also, did you see he tried to say like, "Oh, there was no racist intent behind it. I would have said that even if he was from Arkansas or whatever." And then like people dug up tweets of him saying like the most racist shit you've ever heard.
But it was spelled with an A, so that's not racist, right? If you spell it with an A, it was bad.
I mean, like it was all.
And he wasn't young. It was like usually it's like when people are like teens, but no. He
yeah,
was, like
they caught
early
they caught
20s
that
receiver
from the Brewers, Josh Hader. Yeah. He like found a bunch of his high school tweets and like I'm sure he wasn't like tweeting nice things when he was in high school. But yeah, this dude was like 28 or something like that. Yeah, like also for Cody Durden, I know he's like. Like, he used that moment, some people were saying, to, like, do a heel turn. The dude has put in shitty performances in the U.S. so far. Yeah. He got beat by Chris Gutierrez. He drew with Chris Gutierrez. I take that back. I think he was up 2-0 with his wrestling and then just got pieced up in the third, if I'm remembering that fight right. He took down Jimmy Flick and looked good until he got, like, fucking flying triangle choke. Like, this is your first win, and you fought three times, and you chose this moment to, like, reveal yourself as, like, a terrible racist. And like
terrible racist.
Like,
person, yeah.
I know the UFC won't do anything about it, but, man, I bet there are guys like Tim Elliott just lining up to beat the piss out of this kid.
And then he walked it, like that. He kind of apologized, but then he also...
I'm sorry if you were offended. Is it one of those?
but he's also since gone, like, I don't care if people are mad about this. Bring it on. I'll fight him. So, okay. He makes the people of Georgia look great, Dan.
Give him what's his face?
One of those Asian guys, right?
You know, you're going to make me sound
Who else needs sent back, but, Dan?
No, there's – oh, Subodherji is a would beat the hell out of him.
You should give him Asian killers from here on out.
Or Tegir Ulanbekov. Does technically – is he Uzbek? Am I remembering that right? Tegir Ulanbekov?
Yes.
That's Asia, right? Kind of Eurasia. Yeah. Let Tegir Ulanbekov beat the living hell out of that dude.
Exactly. Just let them handle it for us. So
yeah, find any guy who knows somebody who's Asian that wants to beat him up, and let them all do it at the same time.
Because let me state now, this podcast is anti-genocide, anti-racism, right? Maybe pro-murder, but the other two things.
We're pro murderous nickname. like Hitman. Hitman's a murderous nickname.
I'd prefer the next
less people to be like Hitman, because that's a dumb nickname. But like, I'm pro murderous nicknames. I'm anti genocide and I'm anti race.
Exactly. Like Shyamalan Nerdambiki, he's a Wolverine. That could be a murderous nickname. And he got Dan a massive win over Sean Soriano, which we kind of already touched on, I guess. 29-28. Dan got plus 220 on him, so that really helped.
Who is picking shitty wrestlers against good wrestlers? When he's 0-4 and he's negative 270, I'm going to say this, by the way. This is a great example of one of those fights that I need to make you pick first. Because I think you would have trailed me on this one.
maybe, yeah. Because no need on the first fight of the night. We both had Luana Pinheiro minus 425. She was my lock, so I made a big 23.53. I'm almost back to even money on the locks. I'm down $95, 20-11 on my locks. So
we can touch upon this real quick. I was actually impressed in how Sam Hughes showed up in the third. Because she went for her
job, basically. So.
Yeah, and she fought like she was fighting for her job, which they say to do that, right? But, like, not everybody does the way she did. And, hey, one judge even gave her the round. I'm not sure I did, but one judge gave her the round. So, props to her for going for it.
So what do you think of Pinheiro? A lot of people are thinking that she could be the real deal in the class.
I think she's got some potential. I would be interested to see how she did with Lupita Godinez.
Yeah, I was just going to say, strawweights.
A pair of strawweights there, pair of women who clearly have some takedown abilities, but in very different and weird ways. And, Pinheiro crumbled a little bit under the pressure of Sam Hughes late. Maybe crumble's the wrong word, but she showed cracks in or chinks in the armor, or whatever you want to say. But like Lupita Godinez turns up the pressure. I think those two would be a fun fight.
Yep. Very good. So that caps the night. 8-3 for Dan. Like I said, 7-4 for me. On the year, I'm at 60% still, which is what I was gunning for. Dan's at 55%. I am ahead of him by $1,300, but we're both down money that I don't want to mention. So I'm 23 correct picks ahead of you. So I think you can concede at this point. Three events left. You're not going to catch up, Dan.
No, because you're going to tell me on enough of those.
I won't tell. See, even
this, the beauty
even
of
a bad
this,
week.
Though, the beauty of week. This is that this is not a 1 year long podcast. It restarts at the end of every year. But it's not a 1 year long podcast.
Yeah, fine. So I was going to say, even like a bad week for me, I went 7-4. So something, this is strange. This is a very, very bizarre world going on here. But when a bad week for me is 7-4. So I guess that means you're losing the bet for this year. And is your wife cool with my name being tattooed on your face? Have you talked to her about this?
Remember when we first said that it was going to be a face tattoo? Now you added that with
the name. Yeah,
I have no tattoos and don't plan on getting one.
No, you're not Sean Brady, are you?
Or Jake? What was the? It was a Jake Paul, Tyrone Woodley, Jake Paul, one of the Pauls.
Yes,
was it Jake? Josh?
Yeah, one of the Pauls. Jake, I think. No, I was going to say, you have your wife's name under your right eye. Is she cool with you having my name underneath your left eye? Is that cool? Or does that have to be the spot for the kids or what?
I'm not a tattoo guy. I'm like the only, like jiu-jitsu guys have lots of tattoos. Not a tattoo guy. Especially not Sean Brady. Tattoo. No, that one's wild, man.
Yeah, they were saying on the telecast he wants to get his whole body tattooed. The one on his back looks like...
You can tell it's getting filled in around. Yeah.
His back looks like Darth Maul, basically. The devil.
I don't think Darth Maul is what he's going for.
No, but that's what it looks like to me. All right, anyhow, I'm kicking Dan's ass, everybody. But y'all keep tailing Dan and complimenting him on Twitter and in the Slack channel. Leave me over here.
Speaking of, before we end the show, shout out to my guy, Jason Kurtz. He's been hitting me up with all of his winning bet slips in DMs on Twitter. I won't share his totals because I'm sure like that's a private thing and shit like that. But I'll share with you when we're off the air. But shout out to him because he made a butt ton of money this last week, and I'm happy for him. And keep sending me those winning bet slips because I love seeing them, especially if you tailed my bets and now you're winning. I don't get mad that it's not my money. I'm just happy that people out there are beating the fucking bookies.
So a butt ton?
A butt ton.
How much you made?
Yeah, butt ton.
So really? Is that like, you sure you don't want to say a buttload from one of our favorite movies? You know there's like a buttload of gangs at this school.
Yeah, there's like a buttload of gangs. One of them tried to get me to join because I'm really good with the bow staff.
Yep. Napoleon Dynamite, everyone. My son hates it. The parts he's seen, he thinks his parents are weirdos for thinking it's the greatest movie ever. But his parents are weirdos.
I'm not gonna rank it the greatest movie ever.
No,
there's like three or four movies in my life that I've seen over 100 times. But that's mostly because when I like moved out of my parents' house, I didn't have any money and I just had like one of those old tube TVs with the VHS player built into it.
Better than what you had at home, right?
They had a DVD player.
Cable.
They had a DVD player. I had a VHS player that was already built into like a 12-inch TV. And I had four VHS tapes. So those four VHS tapes got a lot of play. So I'm going to rank all four of those movies higher than Napoleon Dynamite. But Napoleon Dynamite.
How many of them had the words butt and load in the title, Dan?
None of them.
None of them. Okay.
None of them butter loaded.
Just thought I'd say that. Are you going to tell us what those movies are?
Yeah, so Ferris Bueller's Day Off was one of them.
My son approves of that one, yes.
Yeah, Uncle Buck.
Yeah, another awesome one.
It was a bunch of John Hughes films, too. And because those two are both John Hughes. Home Alone 1. And
yeah,
Big,
that's my son loves that, too.
And then Big Daddy.
He hasn't seen that. But, yeah, you've got the taste of an 11-year-old, apparently.
A Canadian 11-year-old.
Yes, exactly.
An American 30-year-old. So.
Very true. Very true. Well, we got a buttload of information out there to you people. We got to figure out what we're doing next podcast. First of all, if you have ideas, you can send it our way on Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer or Gumby Vreeland. Questions, topics, anything to not make us have to come up with ideas ourselves, because we'll end up talking about Uncle Buck, which isn't a bad thing. Because the Canadian John Candy's in it.
You're going to claim John Candy. That's a good – you're right. You're right. He's Canadian. Yeah. He's like one of the greatest Canadians.
Dude.
He's one of the greatest Canadians of all time. It's like Wayne Gretzky, then him.
Yep. And they both owned a piece of the Argonauts, too. Toronto Argonauts, I believe, the CFL team. So, there you go. John Candy and Wayne Gretzky. All right. Now, the only events happening – we're recording on the 24th. The only events happening – we got a one event on the 26th, and we got Ryzen on the 28th. Do we want to make some bets on – either of those Asian events?
I don't. No.
You don't. You don't want to give out any gambling advice next show, is what you're saying.
I mean, we can figure something out, but like, no. I wish there was anything else. There isn't even a Fury. Fury has been doing events. They just finished up a really good event too. We could have fucking talked about Fury FC if it was tomorrow instead of today. Crazy main event, +550 underdog just won. So, Austin. Do you remember Austin Lane? He lost to Greg.
Yeah, I remember.
He lost
name,
to Greg Hardy on the Contender Series.
Oh, there you go.
Knocked out Juan Adams, the chosen Juan Adams.
There you go. All right. So Wednesday and Sunday, we need things to talk about, people. So, if you got any, actually, Sunday. We got one Bellator LFA all coming down the pike or pipe next week. So we can actually make Sunday, we can do some of that stuff. We can make some Bellator LFA picks because Bellator's got title fight and stuff. So it's basically Wednesday. Give us topics. I was thinking maybe we could do, since we kind of touched on it recently, but we could do top female fighters of all time since we just had Misha Tate fight. That could be something we could do. Or we'll just chat. There's plenty to chat about.
I'm sure John Jones will get arrested by then.
Yeah, John Jones will get arrested. Yeah, or something. Yeah. He's sober, Dan, 60 days, so we're so proud of him. So proud
did
of
you
him.
But did you see that tweet? Real quick, did you see that tweet from before I wish I could remember who it was. I think it was one of the guys who used to write for The Athletic before they killed all their MMA coverage. Who wrote, it's been 58 days since his domestic violence issue.
Yeah, well, and
so, but the point is, he said he was 60 days sober, which is like, were you?
Maybe he meant 60 minutes, perhaps.
Yeah.
This isn't a John Jones, so we're touching on all the dirtbags today. So we didn't mention the Irish dirtbag, but all the other ones we were pretty much touching on here. So, all right, that's enough. I gave you our Twitter handles. Follow us there. Go into our SGPN Slack. Go into the Fight Channel. Give us some topics so we're not just answering Jong's superfan Jong's questions next week, because it's all going to be why he hates Korean fighters and stuff. We don't need that. What else can you do? Read our stuff, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Read our MMA stuff, MMA-manifesto.com. I guess that's all I got to tell him, right, Dan?
That's it?
Who's taking him home this week?
I can do that. It's
good. Let's see if you screw up.
I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He is Juicy J. Jeff Fox. And we will catch you on Wednesday.